A judge in Oklahoma recently ordered the pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson to pay the state $572 million for costs associated with the abuse of opioid prescription drugs. In Australia, there's no talk of government suing Big Pharma, but the families of those who have overdosed on prescription painkillers are taking legal action. Tom Ballantyne is a medical negligence lawyer with Maurice Blackburn. He's speaking here with RN's Damien Carrick.
We've had a number of cases where there's been long-term prescription of opioids, which is something that's not really recommended. People don't review the dosages. They don't take the time to review the patient's situation. Why hasn't the pain improved? Are there psychosocial factors that really do exacerbate the pain or magnify the effects of it? Should they be referring to a pain management specialist? So what that boils down to is sort of a tick and flick approach, I think, in a lot of these situations where doctors get it wrong. They just keep doing repeat prescriptions. That develops addiction and can be incredibly harmful and can even lead to death.
Do these cases hit the courts?
Look, the vast majority of medical negligence cases settle out of court, and it doesn't matter whether it's an opioid case or anything else. So it's very difficult to talk about the outcomes. There's confidentiality requirements or obligations attached to settlements. But certainly there have been a number of these cases in the past.
Tell me about some of these cases and some of your clients and some of these doctors.
Sure. So in a particular case I'm thinking of, we had a client who got effectively addicted to opioids after a workplace injury, and the prescribing practices were exactly as I've described. They were ongoing without reassessment, without consideration of review, without looking at the whole picture for this client. And ultimately, he died of an accidental overdose. Not deliberate, it was just drug toxicity, and it's often in conjunction with other prescriptions. And he was a relatively young man, and, you know, he's left behind a family.
And the insurance for the doctor paid up?
In that case, the matter's resolved. It's very awkward for me to say because of the confidentiality requirements, but we can say the matter's resolved.
I mean, are there any patterns that you have observed from these kinds of cases? Are they tend to be more in regional Australia? Do they tend to be more certain kinds of medical practices? Do they tend to involve, well, certain kinds of patients, certainly, I imagine?
The patients issue is a really interesting one because it's very easy to assume that we're dealing with people who have other mental health issues or other addiction issues, and that certainly can be the case. But we often also see people who have only started taking opioids after a traumatic event, whether it's a work injury or a car accident, and previously may have not had any issues with their mental health or addiction. But then they slowly develop this reliance on the drug, and it's very hard to overcome. In terms of the other patterns for these cases, I think you raised the regional health issue there, and I think that's a really interesting one. If we're talking about cases where we want doctors to take a more holistic approach, a more considered approach, that can be very difficult in regional areas where you might be one of only a small number of GPs and you're under an enormous workload pressure. Your ability to refer for specialist review is limited. There might not be a pain management specialist around the corner. And yet here you are with a patient who is telling you they have chronic high levels of pain. It can put an enormous amount of pressure on practitioners, and it's not surprising that that would contribute to these sorts of outcomes.
What about the fact that as somebody's addiction grows, they're going to be out there maybe doctor shopping. They might be seeking out other substances, not just prescription medications, to deal with their addiction issues. They might not be coming to this kind of litigation with clean hands, so to speak. I use that word term advisedly, given somebody's had an accident and have developed an addiction. But it becomes very complex, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, that's the role of the doctor. We in the law always talk about this idea of the eggshell skull rule or taking your client as you see them. Those factors you highlighted actually, I think, illustrate exactly what the doctor's job is. It's to sort of disentangle these things and to make sure that the medication they're prescribing, and this is pharmaceutical prescription medication, they need to ensure that there's a reasonable medical basis for it.
That's medical negligence lawyer Tom Ballantyne from Maurice Blackburn there, speaking with RN's Damien Carrick. And you can hear more of that story on the Law Report this afternoon at 5:30, which is right here on RN, of course, or at any time on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts from.